That should be a familiar scene to most of you. I think most of you seen this before. It's what we usually think of as the Last Supper. This particular one was painted by Leonardo da Vinci. And I don't know how long ago that was. It's before I was born, I think. It just feels like I'm about that age, I guess. But I'm thinking it was in the 1400s or something. Doesn't matter. Here is a depiction of Christ himself and all 12 of the apostles. And that's just what somebody thought of. I guess Leonardo himself thought to do it that way. I don't know how accurate it would be. It's just a thought. We're glad that you're here this morning. Especially thankful for those that are visiting with us today. And I don't know where all of our own people are. I know there was a long list that Steve gave us this morning of people that are not able to be here. But if it wasn't for our visitors this morning, I'd say our crowd, our home crowd, would be pretty short. So we are certainly thankful for our visitors. But there's one visitor in particular that I want her to feel loved and appreciated, and that's Irene Doolin. And one of the reasons for that is I went to school with Irene for 12 years and graduated with her in 1959, and you'll have to ask her how she put up with me and Alan Stewart for 12 years, because she made it. She lives in South Carolina now, and we're glad that she has come our way today. Thank an awful, awful lot of her. And for all the rest of the visitors today, got a lot of young people that are visitors today. Looks to me like Steve Crosland's whole family just about is here today. Just about got the full gamut on them. But we've got some of our own members that are missing, and I don't know the whereabouts of everybody. What I want to talk to you about this morning is coming to church on Sunday night. Now, you can go this way if you want to. Nobody's going to slap you over the head with the songbook. And I don't intend to say anything that's going to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just going to encourage you to come on Sunday night, if you can come on Sunday night. And I'm going to tell you about a person that was real close to Jesus who missed a Sunday night. And what happened to him for missing that Sunday night. Now, I think it's a pretty interesting thing. And so we've got a big gap in our numbers from Sunday morning to Sunday night. And certainly I don't know the reason for it. If you had a better preacher, it'd help, I'm sure. But you got what you got. And so what we usually do on Sunday night, for those of you that are regular attenders, most of them know that we usually have a Bible character study on Sunday night. Mary and Betty Hazel, I still call them Hazel because that's what they grew up as and that's what I knew them as. They love these Bible characters on Sunday night. They're to the point in life where it's difficult for them to attend on Sunday night anymore because of their circumstances. But I remember about a year ago that one Sunday night I didn't preach on a Bible character as we had been doing. And when they came out that night, both of them said, when are we going back on the Bible character studies? So they preferred it, I know. And a lot of the rest of you have told me that you enjoy studying Bible characters on Sunday night. This one that we're studying this morning is almost like that, but it's a little bit different. And if you do have your Bibles, I wish you would turn to the same one that Connor heard read to us this morning, except I'm going to back up a few verses from what he read and read. I'm going to read down and overlap one verse with him. He started in verse 24. It's John chapter 20. And we're going to start in verse 19 and read through 24, whereas he started in 24 and read through 29. And so I want to do it that way this morning. And here's what this scripture says. Chapter 20, I'm on the wrong page, I think. Chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, for those of you that don't know when that is, that's Sunday. First day of the week, Sunday. First day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Remember what Connor read a little bit earlier? Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. Even as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they shall be remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they shall be retained." Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, or the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And that's where I want to read this morning. So I want you to look at this picture that's on the board this morning. And I'm not going to ask anybody, can you identify all these men that are up on the board? Probably not. Only one that I can identify is the one in the middle. And the reason that I know that he's the one in the middle is because it looks just like him. Doesn't it? Any of you got a picture of Jesus in your house? You've seen several different pictures of Jesus. Nobody ever paints him the same way. When I was in the Army, my bunk buddy, I was on the bottom bunk, this guy was up on the top bunk, and we had lockers side to side. And when he opened his locker door, there was a big picture of Jesus. He was Captain. And he was pretty staunch Captain. And I never had said anything about his picture that he had on the door. And one day he asked me, he said, "I know you're religious." And he said, "How come you never say anything about this picture on the door?" And I said, "Who is it?" That's Jesus. And I said, "I should have known that looked just like him." He said, "Don't even speak to me no more. I don't want to hear anything." We've all got an image. The idea of a picture of Jesus, it doesn't really matter. And to pick these men out, it doesn't really matter. What's interesting to me is that there's 12 of them, 12 of the apostles. And most of us as Christians don't even know who they are. We don't know what, we don't know Peter. Peter, hadn't he got denied Jesus 3 times, so we know something negative about him. But he also preached the first gospel sermon, so we know something about him. And we know James and John, Matthew, but some of them we don't know very much about. Maybe Thomas is one of them. And I want to introduce you a little bit to Thomas this morning. And I'm not here to criticize Thomas in any way. I'm not here to criticize you. If you don't come on Sunday night, I'm not here to criticize you this morning. I'm here to encourage you. But I just thought this would be an interesting little story for you to consider, contemplate on. And that is out of these 12 people up here. And here's how I remember them. I remember them because I learned a little song in Vacation Bible School when I was a child. And the little song goes like this. Jesus called them one. Remember that song? One by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Next came Philip, Thomas, two.
Matthew and Bartholomew. James, the one they call Blessed, Simon, also Thaddeus. Next was Judas Iscariot, and he betrayed Christ. Remember that? Now, the setting that we're in this morning is after Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been in the tomb. He has arisen from the tomb. He has told the apostles to go back into the city of Jerusalem and to wait there until further instructions. And they have done that. Remember now that out of this 12, whichever one of these guys was Judas Iscariot, he's dead. Cross him off. There's only 11 left. Now the scripture that we read this morning said the disciples were gathered together. You would assume if one of them is gone, that is Judas, then that 11 of them met together, because that's what Jesus instructed them to do. Go back in the city of Jerusalem and you'll be told when and what and all the things that you need to know that are coming up. At which point Jesus ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of his Father in heaven. Now, we see that these men are dead. The Bible specifically tells us that this was the first day of the week, that Sunday, and it was evening, it was at night. So they're gathered together, these men, on Sunday night. They're gathered there because they have been instructed to gather together. But that last verse that I read, verse 24, says that Thomas was not there. Thomas was not there. So that left 10. So I said, well, what difference does it make? And so that brings us to the question this morning, what Thomas missed. What he missed by not being there. And did you notice the things that we read this morning concerning these men? Here's what Jesus said to them. First of all, he said, peace be unto you. You know what the second thing that he said was? He said, peace be unto you. First and second, I wonder how many of us in our own lives that we would like to hear Jesus say to us, peace be unto you. Because that seems to be in short supply today. Peace in our own personal lives today seems to be in short supply. Big demand, but short supply. And the place to get peace is not from man. It's not from any politician, not from any political party, not from your friends, not even from your own family. The place to get peace is from the Lord. That's where you get it from. And then I noticed that Jesus said this. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Now, where'd that come from? And what did he mean by that? Remember that he has given them the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Remember that? Now, Matthew has a version of it. And Mark has another. And those are the main two that we look at in the Great Commission. And now here is Jesus saying, as my Father has sent me, that is, to this earth, so I'm sending you throughout the earth. This is what I want. Well, how are you going to do that, Jesus, if everybody isn't there? Judas is dead, so he needs the other 11 apostles. And when you turn the page, you're going to be in the first chapter of the book of Acts. And we find there the apostles meeting together to get someone to fill the place of Judas Iscariot, the one that's dead. And remember now that they chose Matthias by lot to take his place. So they got the number back up to 12 again. But what about Thomas? There's some things about Thomas that I think that are interesting. But most interesting about him is what happened to him for missing a Sunday night. Here's some of the things that I think that are interesting about him. In John chapter 14, all of us are familiar with this. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You remember that? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And that verse 6 says this. It said, and Thomas said, Lord, I don't know how you
How are we coming? We don't know where you're going. How you telling us you're going to show us the way? I don't know how. And of course, there's a lot of questions. Now, this was before that this happened to him. And you know, you got to look at this from a human point of view, saying, "Well, Thomas, if you hadn't missed Sunday night, maybe you would have known that answer." That's one way of looking at it, isn't it? That's just my way of looking at it. Maybe you would have known that. But he wasn't there that night. And so then we see some things about it. First of all, we don't know why he wasn't there. Why was he not? All the rest of the apostles were there, but he was not there. And why wasn't he? Well, there's a lot of different possibilities, and I suppose this is speculation, but all of us would probably have. If I were to ask you to help me brainstorm this morning, why do you think that he didn't come that night with everybody else? No doubt somebody would say, well, maybe he just wasn't as strong as the other apostles. Maybe that is it. Now, I really believe that some of the reasons that people are not coming on Sunday night is because they're not as strong as they ought to be as Christians. I'm not casting any aspersions. I'm not saying that if you're not coming on Sunday night that you're not a Christian. You're a Christian, but I think you ought to be stronger than that. You need Christ. You need the peace that God can give you. All of us do. And so that may have been one of the reasons why that he wasn't there. Maybe because his faith wasn't what it ought to be. Somebody said, well, I don't know why you'd say. Well, I say that because the Bible says 8 days. Sometime during that 8-day period, we know this, that the other apostles came to him and they said, guess what, Thomas? Now, you wasn't here Sunday night, so you didn't get to see it, but Jesus visited us. And you know how he got in? The doors were all shut and barred, but he got in anyway. Nobody opened the door for him. I don't know how he got there. He just appeared right in front of us. Thomas said, "Ah, you got to be kidding me." They said, no, he was really here. You know what Thomas said? I suppose this is where that old phrase comes from, doubting Thomas. Got to be where it comes from. He said, I will not believe that until I can put my finger in those places in his hands where they drove the nails, or that place where they thrust the spear into his side. Until I can put my hand in there and feel it for myself, I'm not going to believe it. Now you've got 10 people that are all telling him the same thing and he still won't believe. No wonder they call him Doubting Thomas. No, and so that's why I say maybe his faith wasn't as strong as it ought to have been. As Christians, we ought to be a believable people. But evidently, he had a little ways to go on. Here's another one right there. Maybe he didn't see the need. I believe sometimes that's why people don't come on Sunday night, is because even though they're Christians, they just don't see the need to come. David, you had enough to suit me on Sunday morning. I don't need to hear two of them. That may be it. I don't know. It may be this. Maybe he just thought, well, they're going to all get together tonight. But Jesus is dead. I saw him. Don't tell me he's not dead. I saw him when he went back to heaven. His human body is dead. And I saw him. I know he's not here on earth anymore because I saw him ascend into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see going into the heavens, he's coming back the same manner." That's what he was told. Now, he believed that. But he might have said to himself, well, the rest of them are going tonight, but I don't see any need of me going because Jesus is not going to be there. Now, here's what Jesus has said previously. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of you." Remember that? Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. This is a serious question. There's more than two or three of us gathered together this morning. Is Jesus here? Is Jesus here? I'm going to ask you one more time. If you think he's here, you say amen. Is Jesus here? Amen. Amen. Jesus is here. Now, the Bible promises us that he will be here. Now, if we assemble tonight and there is as many as two or three that are gathered together, will Jesus be here? Hello? Amen. He'll be here. Now, I don't know what Thomas thought. He might have thought, well, he ain't going to be there. But he was there. And the apostles told him that he was there, and he wouldn't believe it. That we're talking about the most religious people that we ever studied in our lives, and he didn't even believe in Jesus. He said, I won't believe it until I see those nail prints in his hand, until I can touch that place on his side. I won't believe it. And then what Connor read to us this morning was that that very same thing happened. 8 days later, he finally did see Jesus. It was eight days before he saw him. All the rest of them saw him. It was 8 more days before he saw him. And Jesus didn't reprimand him. He didn't bawl him out. He didn't rebuke him. And neither am I doing that this morning. He didn't rebuke him. He said, Thomas, you believe because you saw me. He said, blessed are all those that didn't see me and still believed. Isn't that a beautiful, wonderful thought? I tell you, I've never seen him. I have never seen God face to face. Bible says nobody else has. And there's nobody living here on this earth today because Jesus in the flesh has been gone 2,000 years and they didn't have cameras back in those days. And so nobody really knows what Jesus looks like. But what we ought to have is a spiritual picture of Jesus. And when we come together tonight to sing and to pray and to study and to do those things, to offer the Lord's Supper to those that didn't have a chance to take it earlier, Jesus will be here. He'll be here. And it'll be important that we come together as an assembly, as they did and as they should have, except for Thomas. Well, what did he miss? What Thomas missed? Thomas missed the fellowship of being with those people that were most important to him in the world. Sound familiar? He missed an opportunity to be with Jesus in that short little time that Jesus was here on this earth with his apostles. Short little time. Time short for us. We're not going to be here very long. When you're young, you don't think of it. But after you get older, you think of it a lot more. We're not going to be here that much longer. He missed the fellowship. He missed that opportunity. He missed hearing the word, peace be unto you. He missed receiving the Holy Ghost with everybody else. Jesus breathed on them. They received the Holy Ghost. He didn't get it. He wasn't there. I think that there's a special blessing for each person who comes on Sunday night. You get something by being here that you don't get if you miss. I'm not rebuking, I'm not criticizing, I'm not beating you over the head. I'm encouraging you to come on Sunday night if you're able to come. Now I know that there's those that can't. That's what we call sometimes providentially hindered. And you know what that case is. I don't have to give you a list of things that providentially hinders you. Some for health purposes, they cannot. Understand that. Some because of their age, because they live in town, because it's quite a drive out here, especially dark. It's too much of a burden. Nobody has to make any excuses to me. I'm a preacher and I'm one of the elders, but nobody has to make any excuses to me. I'm not the one that you have to have be excused. It's between you and God. It is between you and the Lord. How do you feel? Thomas is an interesting character. He was an apostle just as much as anybody else.